Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Who's ready for the Word of God this morning? Yes, we are. Our 50 down doing church outside. It is a wonderful thing. They're having a great time down there, I'm sure. Give us a yell again. Give us a woo-woo. See, the thing is that YouTube's delayed, so in about 20 seconds, they're going to go woo-woo, which is going to be funny. I wish we could see that live, but we can't. So anyway, let's get our Bibles out. Let's get ready for the Word this morning. But before we do that, I just want to give you a couple of insights into what church is going to look like as we begin to open up, which is all very exciting. And I hope you know that as we do this, we don't only consider what we want to do and what we think church is best doing at this moment. We consider you. We consider our church family at home. We know that you've been doing this for a while, and we want to get you back in the building. We want to get you back on site to do church with us together as soon as we can. But we most of all, we want to do that right. And so we're gonna make sure that we've got everything in line, and when the day comes, it'll be a fantastic day. So bear with us as we continue to set that up. Our kids' ministry, it has been exciting. They've been beginning to meet in small groups. Our youth had a great meeting on Friday night. Men's and chicks are coming up. There is a lot about church life that is happening. And I want to encourage you, when it comes to church, and when it comes to that moment that you're able to come, please don't hesitate. Please don't think, well, it's easier if I do it at home. I would encourage you that there are going to be distractions. The enemy is going to try and put things in your way. Don't be lazy when it comes to getting back involved, all right? Let's put aside the distraction, let's put aside the excuses, and let's come back and let's worship together when the time is right. And I want to let you know when that is going to be, at least our plan, based on the advice and everything that we're doing right now. So, in short, Embrace will continue to run outdoor church. We're allowed 50 this week and next, and then that goes to a whopping 500. But we're going to continue to run with our Embrace team down there for the next few weeks so that they can get together. Our ministry team will be in here for a few more weeks as well. And I want you to circle potentially this date on your calendar, being the 13th of December. On the 13th of December, we currently have the plan to run our carol service outdoor. We are hoping that we will be able to have enough people there to invite the whole church along to our carol service for an outdoor service on the 13th in the evening. We're going to run carols down there at the stadium right next to the light show, and when it comes time, we'll finish and we'll sing "We Will Wish You a Merry Christmas" and then turn the lights on at that moment, and what a fun time that'll be. So know that we have considered all the different options, and we are circling that date potentially as the first date that we can all come back together. But in the meantime, we're going to do what we can to try and rotate through. And I know some people have asked me, how do you choose, Andy? How do you choose who actually comes back to church? Well, we're hopeful that we don't have to do too much of that, and it'll come to a point where we're all able to meet. So that is wonderful. But in the meantime, as Graham said, we encourage you to, if you can, get together as a church family in homes. Do church with someone, all right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for our church community. We thank you that we do not need to be all in the same room with one another for you to move in our midst. And we pray, Lord God, that you would do that work in our hearts today. We come expectant, Lord God, to hear revelation. We come expectant, Father, to hear your truth and to see that with power, Lord God, drive away the lies that we sometimes listen to in our lives. Father, give us perspective about what you want for us in the future. We glorify your name. Allow your word to speak in Jesus' mighty name. We all said, amen, amen. If you're with someone today, why don't you ask them a question? You may know what they had for breakfast, but why don't you ask them, what do you wish you had for breakfast this morning? What do you wish you had for breakfast this morning? There are many, many options to that. I don't know, maybe a cooked breakfast. Maybe donuts. Who'd be up for donuts for brekkie? There are a few people in the room who enjoy donuts. What about sausages? Who'd do a sausage and bread for brekkie? A Bunnings one. If you're at Bunnings, I'm sure you'd do that for brekkie. That is exactly right. Ah, good stuff. Today I want to show you someone as we start. Lasse Virran. We've got a video of him. He is a Finnish distance runner from Finland who was the first athlete to actually win two gold medals to win both at the 5,000 metres and the 10,000 metre races at consecutive Olympic Games. I think he's coming up now. He won in Munich in 1972 and in Montreal in 1976. And actually, after his win in 1976, it was actually the turning point in distance running, and the African nations have dominated ever since. What makes Viren's story so interesting is the famous comeback in the 10,000 metre race, which I think we can see at the moment, in 1972. And at about the halfway point, he got tangled up and he fell with someone else's legs and lost about 50 metres to the lead pack as he was running. And if you've ever been in a race and you've fallen over, or you've been running along, you know what happens, thanks guys, if you fall over? Your momentum is stopped. You can't keep going at that pace. And in a distance race like this, that is a big deal. Yet over the next 150 meters, he caught up that 50 meters and got back in the pack. There was one part towards the end of the race where Viren, it was unprecedented what he actually did. And with about a lap and a half to go, he had an unprecedented kick, which got him over the line to actually not only win the gold medal in this race, but to set a new world record at the same time. A kick, I'm going to explain exactly what a kick is later, but as you round the bend, generally speaking, in a long distance race, you hear the bell and there is a kick that goes on. A lot of runners use that as a strategic advantage and push on and sprint around to the finish line. And today I want to talk about that very thing that he did, which was have a comeback from being fallen down. Have you ever witnessed a comeback? Have you ever been at a sporting event or you've seen someone that has come back from being kicked down or they've been down at halftime or whatever it is? What is that feeling? What is the feeling you have at halftime when that is the case? If you've been sitting there, either you think, man, I don't know if I'm going to go home right now. Maybe let's just be done with this. Or there's sadness that comes over you. Do you feel like walking out of an event or giving up on that? There is something about a comeback. There's something amazing about that achievement when you've been down and you come back. But there is always a moment before a comeback is eventuated that a critical decision is actually made. This causes a chain reaction of other decisions to respond to this situation. That moment determines not only how the rest of the race will go for you, but it determines how the end goes for you. Is that critical moment of decision before a comeback happens. Right now in Victoria, it is critical decision time for us. We have been 9 months out of church. We have been through this time, Victoria's been locked down for 112 days. Many decisions, if you think about it, have been taken out of our hands, largely. There have been decisions that we haven't been able to make. You can't decide whether you want to go out for breakfast in the middle of lockdown. That decision is made for you, and you can't. But the decisions we make right now will determine the level of the comeback we will make. It is critical decision time. And so today, my message is titled The Comeback. So if you're writing notes, write that down. The Comeback. As choice begins again to become part of our way of life, I want to encourage you today to, around that opportunity that we have to come back with all the stuff that life has to offer. And I know there are people listening to this from various parts of not only Victoria, but the world as well, and we are all in different situations. And who knows, in 6 months' time, we might be in a very different situation. And if that's you, then bring this message back up at that time, the comeback. I know this year has been tough for many. I also realize that some in this year of growth, perhaps you've seen great growth, but along with the great growth of the things that you want, perhaps there's been some growth in some unwanted things as well. I feel like the weeds need a spray, you know? Maybe we need to pull out a few weeds that have grown up in this time of growth for us as well, in this time of lockdown as we come back. And some of these areas that perhaps before this year we had a handle on, and maybe through the circumstances, maybe we've let them get a handle on us, or we've let them loose on our minds in some way. I want to ask the question, do you feel this year at all like you've gone backwards? Today I want to talk to you about the title of, I want to remind you of the title of a book. Louis Giglio wrote a book called The Comeback, And its subtitle was this, that it's not too late and you're never too far to make a comeback when it comes to Jesus Christ for a new beginning. See, we serve a God of new beginnings, of transformation, of redemption. There is a personal comeback story in each one of us as we embrace Him as our personal Lord and Savior. So I want to ask, what do we do in that moment of critical decision? When we're gearing up, when maybe we've been knocked down and we're ready for a comeback, what do we do in that moment of critical decision? Because whether it's running a race or whether you are considering returning to the workforce, maybe that's your comeback. Maybe through this time where you've been locked at home, I don't know how dating has been going through this time. Has it existed through lockdown? I think it would have been a little bit more difficult. Zoom dates, I'm not sure if they're a thing. But perhaps it's time, and perhaps there is a comeback for you when it comes to this area of your life. And perhaps there's an overcoming in that this might be the first time you go out with someone, you know, since you had your heart broken before, and there's a comeback for you. Perhaps you're wondering whether to invest in a gym membership through this time. Is that the comeback? Has anybody got the quarantine kilos? Has anybody had the quarantine kilos this year? Yep, there's one hand, there's a couple of hands, a couple of nods. We're not all going to acknowledge it, but I reckon there's a few quarantine kilos that have been going around at the moment. And perhaps that's a consideration. The comeback is to get back and be fit. But the first thing, and I want you to write this down, the first thing that we need to do in that moment of critical decision before a comeback is made is, number one, we need to redefine the goal. Let me ask you, what is your goal for this opening up season? I just spoke about a few things, and maybe one of those you'd circle and you go, man, Andy, my primary is to shed some kilos through this time. Andy, my primary is to get back and be social with a few people. Andy, I need to get back to work. I haven't had work, and I'm going to search that out. What is your goal for this opening up season? But I want to ask you a better question than that, and this is the question that we should really be asking. God, what is your goal for me in this opening up season? We so often personalize it, and we go, all right, well, what do I want to do? What am I going to do next? But ask that question. What is God's goal for you in this opening up season and beyond of that? I've got three scriptures here to help us answer that question. The first one, 1 Peter. We open up to 1 Peter 2, verses 9. It's going to come up on the screen here. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, of Him who is calling you to a comeback right now. What do we do? Number one, we declare the praises of God. What does it look like to declare the praises of God in this opening up season, in this season of comeback for you? What does it look like to declare the praises of God in your workplace, among works friends that you may not have seen in person for a long time? You know, we have a testimony. We have a story to tell of what God has done in and through us through this time, about the way that we have lent into Him and been able to rely on Him in the face of bad news every day. What does it look like? How have you gone? These are going to be the questions that get asked. How do we declare God's praises through these times? What about the Christmas events that inevitably come for family and friends? The catch-ups with people that you haven't seen for months. How do we declare the praises of God in those conversations? What has God been doing in us through this time? The second scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:18, says, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The second thing in redefining the goal that we need to do is number two, become more Christ-like. That is God's goal. That is God's desire for us. Remember, we're redefining it here. It's not about getting back to where we were. It's not even about setting ourselves up for a major goal in the future. It's about making sure the goal is to increasingly become more Christ-like. I know that's so simple. But distilled down into the decisions we make, we need to continue to remind ourselves, put that in lights, become more Christ-like, to allow His light to shine through us, to allow the fruit of the Spirit, which we've been learning about over the past few weeks, to be outworked in our lives. The third one, Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, says to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The third thing in redefining the goal is to put off the old and to put on the new. A comeback involves shaking off the old. If you think of Lasseverant and he falls over, that's that moment of critical decision. He has to get up and he has to shake that off. Shake off the fact that I've fallen because I need to pursue, I need to get on with it, and putting on the new. And you know where it all comes from? Up here. It's the mindset as we come back, that we put off the old that has come of you in the last 6 months, and to put on the new. Let's not settle for any less than what God has for us in this opening season, right? Come on, let's not settle. So we've redefined the goal. What do we do next? It kind of depends, you know, on where you're actually at that moment. In my childhood, I was, I don't know if I was this or not. I like playing video games, right? I said it. I liked playing video games when I was young. I still like playing video games, actually. So I don't do it that often. And Cass says, yes, he does. But I enjoyed it. And in my teenage years as well, I was a pretty keen gamer. I was good at it. Look, I'll say it. I was good at it too. And this game that I'm going to show you here, this picture here, I want to see if anybody actually realizes what this is. Let's put that first one up. Does anyone know that game? Shout it out if you do. Oh, no one. All right. This is called Pitfall. Show us the next one, Dave. Pitfall from the Atari. This is the first game that I ever remember playing when I was a very young fella. And this does it show my age? Probably does, but I don't care. It was a great game. How about this next one? What's this? Did anybody play that game? Super Mario Brothers on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Man, I slammed this game pretty hard. It was great. And this next one, if anybody knows this, no one in the room does, but if anyone at home has played this game and remembers it, can you please let me know? Because I want to tip my hat to you, because this is one of the first games, again, on the Nintendo Entertainment System. It's Copper Triangle. Oh, man, it was a good game. Right now, you'd probably think that stinks, but I thought it was amazing when I was young. Anyway, let me know if you know Copper Triangle. Anyway, but there's a thing with all these games that you'd get to a point, and no matter how you've moved to get there, that if you found yourself in a position where you didn't know what to do, you could hit the start button, and you could then hit reset, and it would reset you back to a checkpoint or the start of the game or wherever it was. It only happens, and you do that when you've actually gone the wrong way for a certain amount of time. And you find yourself there and you're like, I don't know how to work my way back from this. I just need to hit reset. And I think with perspective, if we think about what this year has been for us, I think that if we have perspective over this time, we can see this as a big giant reset. There have been a lot of things that we have been able to reset through this time. That maybe we have found ourselves and we have built our lives up by all the stuff that we do in a certain way that God has said, hey, reset. Let's start back to another square. And the point that I want to make through this is that not all that has been taken away needs to be put back in. As we come back, not all that was taken away from you actually needs to be put back in. And we have to be intentional about that, because that'll be our default, is to add it back in, to add this. We used to do that and that was great, so we'll add that back in. And this was our routine back before. We need to do that. Redefine the goal for your comeback. What does God want your comeback to be? And allow Him to inform the decisions you make every step of the way. So after we've redefined the goal, the second thing we need to do is we need to reassess the game plan. The halftime score is not the final score a lot of the time. When a team finds themselves down at halftime, there is a moment where they go back to the locker room or the change room and the coach comes in and he unloads the game plan for the second half. Here's what we need to do if we're going to have a comeback. And there is two things actually that happen in that conversation. Number one, the players get reminded of what they have been doing well, what they can do to stop the other team from scoring. I'm going to use basketball because basketball is my sport. And you'd say, all right, well, what can we do? We need to play good defense for a start, because the only way for us to get a comeback is if we stop the other team from scoring. Play good D, put your hands up, put your legs wide, you know, all that sort of stuff. Run hard. Is that what you say? What's the best footy defense? What do you do?
Push hard.
Just push hard. Man, great. That's good encouragement, isn't it? It's so simple. But what are the things that we need to do to beat the other team? But the second part is as equally, if not more important than that first part. What are the things that we need to stop doing to prevent ourselves from beating ourselves? In basketball, that's turning it over. It's throwing the ball away. It's not playing good defense. Like, it's these things that we're going to beat ourselves if we do that. For footy, the classic one would be kicking straight, right? What is 1-10? What's the score if you kick 1-10?
16.
1-10, 16 versus 10-1?
61.
Is that right? Yeah, it is. Good job, Matt. Matt's the footy guy. Well done. 16-61. What has been the difference? Not necessarily what the opposition has done, but what the team did to actually beat themselves. And I want to ask you those questions when it comes to your own comeback this morning. As we choose our next move, what have we learned through the ups and downs of this year? What are the things that we did well? What are the things that we need to prioritize moving forward? And let me give you a couple that I think that we could align ourselves with from this year. Hebrews 13:6 says this, "So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" We need not fear, for the Lord is with us. And let that be a testimony for us moving forward. Because you know that the enemy is going to try. He is going to try and put you off course. He's going to try and slam you down onto the ground and cripple you with fear again. What have we learned through this time? That we need not fear, for the Lord is with us. Use the power of that testimony, the things that we learned, the things that we did well, to put us in good stead for the future. Glory to God. As the next time we encounter fear, we say, we need not fear because God, you are with me through this time. When a news report over the next few months comes up and says, oh, it's not looking good, we need not fear, for the Lord is with us. When life doesn't go as planned through this time, we need not fear, for the Lord is with us. Second thing, I hope we've realized through this time that there is no replacement to one-on-one time with God. Not our friends, not our work, not our social lives, not even church and the things that church have to offer. There is no replacement to one-on-one time in the presence of God. You know, we spoke about John 15 over the series, over our fruitful series. Abiding in the vine, spending time with him. He is the source of everything that we have to give. Being in the vine is critical to this. There are going to be many more options for you as things begin to open up. Let's choose not to let ourselves be taken over. But secondly, what are the things that will potentially sabotage our successful comeback, like not kicking straight? How do we stop this? You know, I went to Planet Shakers when I was Planet Shakers conference in Adelaide when I was a teenager, and it was a transformational time in my life. And I remember the first conference I went to, and if you've probably been in a moment like this, and we were the preacher was going, and he was encouraging everyone, and for us as youth, it was an encouragement to, you know, are you serious about this? Are you serious about this life with Christ? What are you going to do with it? And being sold out 100%. And, you know, I was on that formative moment, and I think year 10 I was, and I was like, look, It was actually, like, the Holy Spirit was working in me. Like, I'm not going to joke about it. That was a big moment for me in my life where I actually made a decision. God, I don't want to do this half-hearted, but I'm all in. I'm going to be all in with you. Perhaps youth, you've made that decision at a youth camp or at a conference. Perhaps church members, you've made that in church or wherever it's been. That moment where you go, you know, I don't want to do this half-hearted anymore, but I'm jumping all in this relationship with God. And I was, the preacher was saying, you know, are you ready? Are you sold out? And I'm like, yes, I'm ready. And then he just, out of nowhere, it seemed, he came out with this line and he was like, then get rid of your CDs. It was a few years ago, so CDs were a thing. Get rid of your CDs. And I like, he's talking to me. And because in the lead up to this, I had gotten into some music, into some heavier music. I still enjoy a little bit of heavy music, but I was into some heavy music and it was determining my outlook on life. I'd wake up in the morning, I'd throw it on shuffle, and that would set me up for my day, and that was my demeanor throughout the day based on this. And at that moment in my life, it was important that I was listening to this. What I didn't realize, and as I went forward from this and I processed that, what I didn't realize is that it wasn't so much about what I wasn't doing with my life, but it was about what I was consuming. That was the thing that was me beating myself, was what I was allowing myself to consume. In today's day and age, it is easier than ever to consume whatever you want, simply through a screen, simply through thinking a thought. We can consume so easily. And so perhaps for you, it's not really about what you need to do to beat the other team, but it's about what you need to stop yourself from doing, from actually beating yourself. Don't beat yourself. Galatians 5:16-17 says this, "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do." What is it saying? Walk by the Spirit. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Put everything you can into your own relationship with God, continually asking Him, God, what do you want me to do in my next step? Be led by the Spirit. 1 Peter 5:8 says to be sober-minded, to be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. You better believe that he's prowling right now. He's seeking someone to devour right now. And that first part, be sober-minded and watchful. As I read that and I was writing this down, I wanted to say to you, what are we getting drunk on? What are we putting in our way right now that is causing our vision of the goal to become blurry? What is it in our lives? We've all got something different. God wants to come. He wants to redeem that for us. As we redefine the goal, as we reassess the game plan and put Him first, put Him on the throne of our lives, what doesn't need to go in? And what does need to go in? And we said this before, and I just want to say it again. I want to encourage you. Church needs to go in. Being part of this church community is one thing that needs to go in. And so when the time comes, again, please don't find the excuses. Please don't find it easy. We're going to do everything that we can to help you come back in a great way. But it's going to be up to you at the end of the day. So once we've redefined the goal in closing and reassessed the game plan, we need to realize the true cost of a comeback, because every comeback has a cost. Now, I was reading a book this week, and the author was talking about their visit to some of the big tech companies in Silicon Valley. And they went to the Apple headquarters a few years ago, and they went to Facebook. And I thought it was really interesting that they highlighted this moment at Facebook when they went there. And they went to one of the vending machines that they had. It may not be like this anymore, but it was back then. And the vending machines, everything was free. You could just press the button and get whatever you wanted out of the vending machine. But instead of the price being, you know, $2.50 for a Snickers bar, or, you know, if you're somewhere else, it might be $8 or whatever it is. Instead of the price, it would actually highlight to you the true cost of that Snickers bar. And it might say something like, Snickers bar, 25 minutes of cycling. Or, a can of Coke, and here's 20 laps in a pool. something like that. What is actually the true cost behind what you're actually consuming? Everything we put back in through this time of comeback has a hidden cost. I've said this, shared this quote a couple of times. Every time you say yes to something, there is less of you for something else. We need to make sure our yes is worth the less. And that's no more important than in this time for us as we get to choose the way that we put our lives back together, the way that we do a comeback. Make sure your yes is worth the less. What example are we setting for those around us? How do the decisions we make reflect the direction of our heart? What is the true cost of remaining on course for a comeback? Yeah, it's going to require extra effort. Yeah, it's going to require good decisions for us to make. But also, it's going to require an unprecedented kick. And I said I'd get back to this. That moment that was a decision time for Lasseviren, that unprecedented kick. See, it was this strategic move that some runners would have to be able to kick hard and sprint towards the finish line. And he, as we heard at the beginning, he didn't do that with just a lap to go. He did that with a full lap and a half to go. To complete a comeback, it requires 100%. What is the kick for you today as we come back? Is it 100% devotion? Through this time, did it potentially come back to 50% or 60%? When it comes to the decisions, are we desperate enough to allow Jesus to have every single one of them in our lives? What is the cost of a comeback? It's everything. Everything. God wants nothing more. He wants nothing less than our everything. And that applies for you if you're watching this and you're one of our youth guys or even one of our kids. All the way up, maybe you've ran a good race. There is still more to run. God wants nothing more and nothing less than your everything. That is the road to a comeback. Number one, redefine the goal. What has God got for you in this comeback? Number two, reassess the game plan. What do we need to keep doing that we've done well? I know our fasting time in September was so powerful for so many of us. How's that been going? Have we lost that? Perhaps you need to go back to those videos and spend half an hour with the Lord each day with those. What do we need to stop doing? What do we need to consider? And thirdly, what is the true cost? Are we prepared to pay the price for this comeback, to give God our everything? Last scripture before we close, and we're going to sing. We're going to sing, "Oh, Praise the Name." Is Matthew 16, 24 to 27. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that we can go to you at all times with all things. Father, we thank you that as we come back, as we add these things back into our lives, as we make the decisions moving forward, Father, that as we put our whole lives into your hands, we can trust you above all else. Father, it is not putting our hope in something that is fleeting. It is not putting our hope into whether we get a job coming back or not. It is not putting our hope into whether we can enter into a relationship in the next few months or not. Our hope and our trust is in you, oh God, above all else. And Lord God, we know that as we do this, you will be glorified. And so, Father, we open up our hearts to you today. Have your way in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, I pray for anyone who is right now making big decisions about what they need to add in and perhaps what they need to take out right now. Father, that with strength, that they would know that they can trust in you through this time. That Holy Spirit, that you will guide them each and every step of the way. And Father, we thank you for what you're doing in us. We thank you for what you're doing in our church, Lord God. And we look forward to what is to come. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
Good morning, church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Michelle. And together with my husband, Warren, and our two children, Amelia and Jacob, I've been part of our LMC community for just over 4 years now. I'm really thrilled to be sharing communion with you today and would like to invite you, if you haven't already done so, to please collect the elements. As I was praying about what God wanted me to share in today's communion message, I was drawn to a passage in John chapter 14, verses 16 to 17, where Jesus is telling his disciples that he will soon be leaving them and that the Father will send them another helper. Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive to its heart because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you." During this series that we've been studying on fruitfulness, we've become familiar, maybe for the first time or maybe afresh, with the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, we are told, "The fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence in us, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." I don't know about you, but I've often prayed that I can be better at doing or being these things. Better at showing love towards others whom I find difficult to love, but I know God loves. Better at feeling joy when circumstances are difficult, like Paul did in so many of his circumstances, even when he was trapped in a cold prison cell. Or better at remaining patient when I'm frustrated or just so tired of waiting. What has occurred to me is that I don't need to pray to be able to find these qualities, because I already have full access to them. I possess them because Jesus tells me in his word that the Spirit dwells in me and the Spirit has the fruit. It's not possible for the Spirit to strip itself of the fruit or leave it behind when it takes up residence in me. What a relief that these qualities are not unattainable for me. I have them. And so it's up to me to submit to the Spirit in enabling this fruit to grow. It's up to me to nurture it, to practice it, and to obey the prompting of the Spirit when there's opportunity to recognize the blessing of that fruit in my own life and to share or throw it into the lives of others. In the parable of the talents, we hear of a servant who took the talent that his master had entrusted to him, and he buried it for fear that he would lose it. And so we can do this with the fruit of the Spirit that dwells in us. We can bury the fruit below our worries, anxieties, our fears, or below our busyness, our temptations, or dedication to things that could be bad or even good in themselves, but toward which our dedication hinders our capacity or willingness to recognize and listen to the Spirit. So my prayer to be better at being the things that are the fruit of the Spirit has changed. It's become a prayer of conversation, where I empty myself of all the worries, anxieties, fears, challenges, annoyances, and obstacles that that I'm either holding on to or that I need to face. And I place them at the foot of the cross, and I ask Jesus to refill that space in me with his Spirit so that I can be empty of self and full of the Spirit, so that I can seize the opportunities that the Spirit provides to recognize his blessing and bear much fruit in the name of Jesus. I'd like to pray now before we take the elements together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your perfect love for us. Thank you that we can pour out of ourselves to you and be refilled with your Holy Spirit, so that we may be your disciples for the glory and honor of God our Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the perfect example we need to bear fruit in your name. Amen.